This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Of course, number one on what's trending, the Royals season came to an end last night in the ALDS. They lose to the New York Yankees in the series 3-1. We'll get right back into the Royals and talk bigger picture about this season and hopefully, right, the springboard that it could provide. But it was pretty simple why this series went the way it did. It was pretty evident. We talked about it throughout the series, and that was got to get more out of your 2, 3, and 4 hitters. And they just didn't, plain and simple.
We'll talk more about it, like you said. I think the starting, I think you could argue that the pitching got the job done. They only let up 3 runs last night. But unfortunately, based on the way the offense was going, they were just going to need more to their starting pitching, and their starting pitching is what got them there. So we'll talk about it more in a minute. Next up on What's Trending, local college football this weekend, K-State in one of the bigger games of the week. It's not Ohio State, Oregon, but K-State heading to Colorado. A now surprise 4-1 Buffaloes team is a 4.5-point home underdog to K-State. That game will kick off at 9:15. And you will take on UMass at 11. KU off this weekend.
That's a late game out in Colorado. I think that'll be fun to watch, though. Next up on What's Trending elsewhere in Major League Baseball today, Game 5 of the NLDS. Deciding Game 5 between the Padres and the Dodgers. 7:08 first pitch. And then tomorrow it'll be deciding Game 5 of the other ALDS. That'll be the Tigers and Guardians. 7:08 first pitch. And then we know who's awaiting. The Mets awaiting the winner of the Dodgers-Padres game, and unfortunately the Yankees awaiting the winner of that Tigers and Guardians series.
Next up in What's Trending, preseason college basketball. Kansas' Hunter Dickinson has been named Big 12 preseason player of the year. They've also been picked to pick the conference. But, you know, funny enough, they weren't the only local team picked to win their conference.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you guys saw preseason number one in the Summit League. UMKC Ruse.
How about that, Ruse?
Number one preseason poll, baby.
There you go. That's your guy.
Returning their leading score from last year. Wow. Scored 15 points a game. Number one preseason poll. Suck it, South Dakota State. They were number 2.
Are we going to a game?
Lost him to Kansas.
We're going to do a little Cody and Gold, day at the Sweeney Rec Center.
Yeah. You guys want to, everybody want to make a day of it? 913-586-7965. We'll pick a game.
Okay.
If the Cody and Gold listeners want to come down and watch some Ruse basketball with me. Although I'll be honest, I'm going to try to set half court for that. I got to try to get one of those tables at half court.
You're a professor now, so you should be able to, good seats. How about they play on a Wednesday night against Idaho? It's the Big Sky Summit Challenge.
Against the Vandals, huh?
Uh-huh.
Was Idaho a rival of anyone when you were in Boise State?
A Boise State.
Are they
Boise
State?
They don't like each other. They don't like each other.
I can see that.
How was your NIL thing?
They never responded.
They never responded. And now I'm a professor at the university, which makes me feel like I'm really not allowed to do it, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Why would you not?
I don't think you can just... I don't know. You know, honest to God, it's the Wild West. You probably can. I'm not sure. Just pointing out
that... UMKC doesn't delve into those sketchy behaviors.
They should
lastly,
do as sketchy thing as possible to win.
Lastly on What's Trending, finally the news we were waiting for, all this stadium conversation, but I just wasn't sure about how fans perceived Arrowhead at all. Okay. Until the USA Today's top 10 NFL stadium list came out today, I just wasn't sure, and now I am. Arrowhead Stadium was named the best NFL stadium by readers of USA Today. So no need for a new stadium. No need for renovations. Case closed. That's what the text line told me.
The people have spoken.
The people have spoken as well. Frank White spoke as well. I mean, it's all settled now. We are incredibly proud of Arrowhead Stadium and all it represents. Quote, the stadium's legacy is built on the loyalty and enthusiasm of the fans who fill its seats every week. I'm confident and excited for Arrowhead to continue being the home of the Kansas City Chiefs for generations to come. That's it. We were all just waiting for the USA Today readers poll to come out. Now there is no need to worry about it. No need to put any more money in the stadium. Everything is solidified. Good to go.
They actually, in a lot of ways, this even clarifies that they didn't even need those renovations. Leave Arrowhead exactly like it is.
That's right.
Pre-renovation. Mm-hmm. Number one. Numero uno.
I hope
did you hear that endorsement? That's Jackson County Legislator Frank White.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't. Who knows it better than that? Played next door for a number of years.
That's exactly right. I hope the next Chiefs game, I think it's a Monday night game against the Bucks. I hope they just on the stadium, they have a wrap and it's
number
just like
number one USA Today readers poll.
Yeah, you know how like on books or video games, they put like game of the year, they put like a gold sticker on it. You know, like for a book, they put New York Times bestseller sticker.
Yeah.
Arrowhead just gonna have a giant sticker that says USA Today readers choice winner. Yeah,
I was thinking
very
like
official stuff.
According to the readers,
metal.
There's a vibe.
Mm-hmm.
According to the readers, yeah.
Look, it's a listener online poll. I don't.
No, it's very official, Cody. It needs to be taken seriously. How dare you?
Don't discredit.
Number one.
That list.
Number one. What was number two? Lambeau?
Lumen Field, maybe in Seattle or something.
Oh.
Surprise.
It was number two. Yeah. Number three was Empower Field. Number four was M&T Bank in Baltimore. Five was the U.S. Bank up in Minnesota.
Forgive me, but what's
six?
Empower Field?
Empower Field was Denver.
Mile High.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. That's, yeah. That's what's trending.
So we're going to a UMKC game together?
Yes.
Can we get Menzies on the show the day we go?
Sure. Fine. Yeah.
Or the day before. I don't know if he'll do interviews on the day. He's got to focus on the days he's got to coach. I don't know if he'll do an interview the day he has to coach. You know?
Yeah.
Menzies turning this program around, you know?
I'm pretty sure he'll come on the day of the game.
That guy's been in some NCAA tournament. Marvin Menzies knows how to win. They needed a coach like this. I wanted him to get long before. Like, I'm dead serious. Long before he actually came back and has now had, like, another rebound. When he was, like, just on the street and been, like, kicked out for violations from the NCAA, I want him to get Samson. And that was, like, before. But that was when he was, like, on the street and nobody was hiring him, right? Because he had just gotten in all that recruiting violation stuff. All the things that are now clearly above board by NIL standards. But I'm like, just get anybody who will just, like, do whatever it takes to win at UMKC. And now I got to live in that life. Same rule applies as always. I will not be on this show if UMKC ever makes the NCAA tournament because I will be traveling to the city in which they will be playing in the NCAA tournament.
They play in Kansas City?
A thing they have never played
in. They won't put them in Kansas City. They're going to be like a 15 seed or 14 seed.
They're going to
put a 13
next to their name, okay?
Okay.
Put some respect on their name.
They will not put a 13, 14, or 15 seed in Kansas City.
No, probably not.
I don't think that would happen. That'd be incredible for you.
They'd have to be like the 8 or the 9.
Will you
or
buy
the 16?
We'll go to the game. Will you buy Drew and I some Rue gear, please?
Oh,
yeah.
You know,
Professor.
I'll actually do this one better. Not one better. It's the same for you, but it's better for me. I will reach out to the athletic department, see if I can get us some gear.
Okay.
I'll
rock Kansas City's team.
All Rue fans this year. They're number one preseason in the Summit League.
That's right. I should stop saying UMKC, excuse me. The Kansas City. I should do that.
Add that to the batch of college gear that I got, yeah.
Man, I start teaching there, and they're number one in the Summit League at the same time.
Next thing you know, you're going to sing a song about them, and they're going to make the tournament. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll check in with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, who, of course, had an extended post game last night. I was driving home, as you were as well, and after the game, we were listening to some of the post game callers trying to really describe the feeling of Royals fans, and we'll take your texts on this, 913-586-7965, because look, we know why they got eliminated from this series. Yeah. 2, 3, 4 were not good enough. Bobby, Vinny, Salvi were not good enough in this series. They're not in this position without them, but they weren't good enough in the series. The New York Yankees were a better baseball team in this series. I think what is so frustrating and obviously disappointing is, one,
you still could have won.
I thought
series.
After Monday night, they evened it up. They came back to Kansas City. Felt like, you know what? One, they were in just a really good position, but you felt like at some point in time, one of those three players was going to step up. But they also went up against Gerrit Cole last night, who was much better than on that Saturday outing. And he pitched like, I hope we would see one of Reagan's Lugo or Waka pitch, which was go 6+ innings. Because I think it was 6 innings for Gerrit Cole was in his final stat line.
Felt like he could have gone 9 right? if it was a regular season
He was
game.
Dominant. You know, I'm not saying that the starting pitching was bad. No, it wasn't bad. But it wasn't dominant. And they were dominant, Cody, during the regular season.
One of the three best rotations in all of baseball. So the truth is that the blame lies in both areas. Because they played fine defense. That was not the issue. The base running, something we typically credit them for, they didn't have enough base runners to make a difference in the base running. The Yankees had more steals in this series than the Royals. The Yankees had 4 steals. The Royals had 2. Just 2. Just 2 steals. Just kind of out of nowhere, right? Nothing that moved the needle or did this. But the starting pitching was fine. I would say fine enough to win most baseball games based on the way baseball games typically go. You'd probably win 115 games if your starting rotation only gave up, or your entire pitching staff only gave up 3 runs a game like they did in this series. But because the offense had not had time to find itself again, they weren't able to do that. What I think this kind of boils down to is, unfortunately for look, I think the Yankees are the better team in the series.
Mm-hmm.
They were probably the better team all year. But when you look at how, but the Royals still could have won the series. It's baseball, right? So where did it go? They lost a 2-run game last night. They lost a 1-run game the night before. They lost a 1-run game in game 1. It's not like this wasn't a close series. Every damn game was close. I honestly think what happened was their offense, and the numbers support this, fell apart when Vinny Pasquantino got hurt. I mean, it was a disaster. It fell apart when Vinny got hurt. Give me the stat real quick.
Yeah, I mean, we all saw it with our eyes. So some of you will be like, I don't even need stats to know it. I just saw it. But for example, in the month of August even, Cody, they were hitting .268, .317 on base, .460 slug, right? 145 RBI, 41 homers. That was August. September/October, 15 home runs, 68 RBI. Average was down to .204, on base .275, slug .302. We can go through the entire season. I mean, there was never any other month where they dropped below. June was they hit .229 batting average. September and October was .204. You know, the RBIs were cut in half at least compared to any other month. So, yeah, I mean, we all saw it. I mean, everybody saw that. It's just the numbers are pretty jarring to look at.
And while I don't think Vinny was 100%, and I'm sure he would tell you that, he had admitted after the game that he was going to be able to play first base again in the ALCS had they made it there. So I don't think he was that far off from being healthy. I think what happened was they lost all their offensive mojo because Vinny was gone, and they didn't have enough games to refine it. If this injury happens in July and they go through this stretch, they go through a terrible July, nobody can hit because Vinny's gone, and then in August, Vinny comes back, and they got 30 days, 45 days to have a run-up, to get used to what the offense is again with Vinny in it. I think this series is maybe won by the Royals, truthfully. But because they didn't have the normal run-up, they had 2 games and then 2 more games. You know, they have 4 games, 5 games to sort through offensive problems that have plagued them for a month on a player coming back at maybe 80, 85%. We don't know. Obviously, it's hard to put a number to it. That just cost them. I just think that I think the Yankees were the better team. The truth. They pitched better. Their bullpen dominated. And they scratched across enough runs, more than the Royals, in order to win this series. They got beat. It stinks, but they got beat.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of the text line, and I think it's a simple way to sum up just where we're at now and how we view this team currently, the frustration of now, but also short-term frustration, disappointment, understandably so, of course. Long-term, though, optimistic. How can you not be? I mean, that's the difference of maybe why, I'm bummed out, trust me, but why you're not maybe feeling it as much as you would have after the 2016 season where you knew everybody was done and out of here. Bobby's not going anywhere. He's 24. He's going to win an MVP award at some point in the next couple of years. Vinny Pasquantino will be back and healthy. Salvador Perez, I don't know if he'll have as good of a season, but he's back, right? Cole Reagans, Seth Lugo, keep going. You know what I mean? Like Michael Massey, who had a great postseason for this team. Lucas Erceg is closing for this team next year. He's not going anywhere.
He's got a contract for 4 years. You know what I mean?
Like, just keep going. But you're not losing everybody. This thing isn't falling. It's like, oh my gosh, it didn't happen this year. This thing is over. We got to wait 9 more years to get back to the postseason.
You know what's still great about this team is that going back 2 years ago when they won 56 games and what they self-proclaimed was an evaluation year. The players they stuck with in the evaluation year worked this year. They did. And those are the exact same players who will be back again. They evaluated Cole Reagans. It worked. They started with him. They knew that their starting pitchers weren't good enough, so they went out and got Lugo. He'll be back with the team. Maybe Waka. We'll see. We can get into that more as time goes on. They took a look at Bubich and stuck with it. They evaluated Brady Singer and stuck with it. He's under contract. He doesn't have to go anywhere. Salvi and Massey and Mikel, the young parts, like you mentioned, all of those were evaluated. It worked. Can I ask, I guess this is the, I see the people who want to like talk about the game a little bit more, and then you and I can talk about how this is overall just a win. It just is. And this season was a win. Is there anything you would have done differently in the series? I see people be like, I wish they would have used DeJong. And like, would you have not started Waka and turned to Singer because he wasn't good in the first postseason start? Would you have changed the order in a fundamental way? That would you have benched Yuli and started for me? Is there anything you would have done differently than the approach the Royals took? Because I'll be honest, I wouldn't have.
There's
the
not
approach
much,
they
man.
Took is the approach I would have taken.
It doesn't always mean the results are there. I think sometimes we're like, look, it's a results-driven business. We all get that, right? That's how ultimately everybody is judged. But it doesn't mean the logic in some decisions was bad just because the result wasn't there. And I thought we saw that play out throughout the Yankees series. I'll go back to Angel Zerpa in the first outing in the series versus the second outing in the series. Same decision.
Same guy. Same.
One result was positive. One was negative. He couldn't throw strikes in one. He was great in the other. I mean, so both the same decision. You know, I know there were some people yesterday that wanted Vinny down on the lineup route. I still understand why he was where he was at. You know, what do we think that if you moved him down to six that suddenly the result of the game would have been better? I disagree. I really don't think it was.
I thought
would
that
be.
Was playing to lose instead of playing to win. By if you were going to make that decision, I would have never done that.
You know, a lot of people mentioning Freddie Fermin. He was, give him credit, he had an unbelievable season. He really did. But the final 3 weeks, he wasn't hitting.
And that would have taken Yuli Gurriel out of the lineup. Is that something you wanted to do?
So no, Freddie deserves props. He had props for a great year. He really did. But he was not hitting down the stretch of the season, carried over, and that's why he didn't get an appearance in the postseason. I'm sure he's bummed about that. But like, certainly wouldn't change anything about the starters and how they laid out the rotate. It was laid out perfectly. Couldn't have dreamt of a better scenario. It was what we all wanted going back to the Orioles series and the Yankees series. Set it up for Reagans in game one in Baltimore, for game one in, or game two, I guess it was, in New York. No, I mean, ultimately, the New York Yankees had the one or two timely hits that the Royals never got.
I never got
in the series, or at least the last couple games.
The only couple of times in the last two games that I thought they would do something that I probably would have done is I probably would have pinch hit for Mikel. I would have gone for the guy who could maybe just accidentally put one in the seats. You know, you've got DeJong, you've got Renfro, and Renfro didn't have a good couple of final weeks either. But sometimes I'll take that shot at the one final swing of the bat when it was the seventh or eighth inning. I'd probably do that. And I saw somebody say, maybe I just did a let Tommy Pham lead off for every game.
Yeah, I mean, Tommy
Pham
was great. I mean, he also, the numbers against Garrett Cole was what it was. I mean, they matched up with Garrett Cole well. My only thing with what you're saying, like, hey, pinch hit for Mikel out of the lineup.
So small.
He had four, but also, he had four hits. He's now tied with George Brett and some other greats in franchise history for most postseason hits. I mean, I know, look, we're all looking for answers. Like, what?
I'm just saying, of all the things, it's mostly small.
Yes.
Like, that's all. I mean, I was just asking because I see everybody being like, well, why didn't they use DeJong or how did Daniel Lynch not get in there for me? And I'm just like, truth is, if you'd put me in Q spot, there's a 95% chance I maybe make the identical decisions.
Yeah, I mean, the Tommy Pham thing, Tommy Pham leading off. I understand he had three hits yesterday, but also do we forget that the day before Michael Massey had a triple? And was seeing the ball, you know, like we're just ignoring that too.
Best player for maybe the middle postseason.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's, I mean, when your team loses, obviously there doesn't mean there's Would you like to have tried something differently? Because we know the result is they're eliminated. Sure. Do I think it was a wrong decision? No. Yeah. Would I like to try something differently? Because we know the result with that didn't work. Yeah, I'm with you guys. Let's try something different because I maybe there's something else that happens. But acting like it was the wrong decision, I just disagree. What was disappointing, I think, honestly, other than the big three in the lineup not contributing, was a big factor for this team and their success was when they did get on base, and I know they didn't get on a whole lot, they were able to steal and be aggressive, and that was really not a factor in the series outside of the maybe was it game one, I guess. Maybe there were, well, obviously there was, yeah, game one. Other than that, there wasn't. I think the Yankees stole more bases than the Royals did in this series. 4-2, something like that.
If I could just change one call, I would just call Jazz Chisholm out. And then maybe they win that game too, and we're heading to New York. Yeah. But you know, that's the way these series go sometimes. Small things kind of alter.
Someone says they would have put a dome over the K just for last night, so we would have had a home run last night.
How are they going to manage that in one night? Just like a tent?
Yeah.
Bam has his hands on his knees as he leads off of first base. The 1-0 pitch. Isbell swings, and it's a fly ball. Deep right field. Back goes Soto to the fence, and he's got it.
Mm. That call hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts.
Yeah.
Vinny Pasquantino's book after the game, he said the same thing. I didn't hear what Vinny said. He thought he got it. He's like, yeah.
Yeah, that's Bobby basically said the same kind of thing.
He's like, I thought he got it. Like we're
how
all
could
in
you
a
not?
Dream. It's like, I thought he got it. I thought that was good enough. I mean, and you know, these guys play at Kauffman Stadium all the time. They know what it sounds and looks like when a guy puts him in the corner. I thought Kyle Isbell got it. I mean, the second off the bat, I'm like, oh! The only thing that gave us pause as like it was getting closer to the fence versus like the TV view was, man, Soto looked awfully comfortable standing there like he thought the ball
was coming
on the track. He wasn't getting up to the fence like he was getting ready to have to jump up to snag it. He saw it pretty well off the bat, sadly.
Yeah, the one thing I guess we didn't bring back up today, but we brought up after game one or on Monday's show, which was just the decision to send Salvi still is one that'll sting.
Yeah.
Around third, right? He was out by a mile. There would have been bottom of the second or top of the second inning. Nobody out, bases loaded.
Talk about the butterfly effect on that one. The calculus on that game changes a million times over depending on what you do there.
We'll talk more about this series, also bigger picture. Josh Fournier, our Royals insider, is going to join us next right here on 96.5.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today. at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Back here on Cody and Gold, just a couple notes from the NFL to pass along in addition to what we had in What's Trending. Malik Nabers ruled out, Giants wide receiver going up against Drew's Cincinnati Bengals. Also the Colts ruling out Jonathan Taylor. And about a minute or two ago, Tom Pelissero reporting that Will Levis will in fact start on Sunday for the Titans against the Colts, according to Brian Callahan. There was some noise about maybe Mason Rudolph based off of the play of Will Levis, but that is not the case. So at least one more week of Will Levis in the Mayo cologne and everything else.
He's four for four in memes. So, you know, maybe one more chance to hit that mark. And did you mention that Russell Wilson?
I did not.
Okay, because that's the other note, is that Mike Tomlin had said that Russell Wilson is fully healthy, but will serve as the team's number two this Sunday.
They finally said that.
Yep. So right now, remember, he kept putting it away, and he's like, we'll talk about it when we get there. When he's healthy, I'll have this conversation. I still think he's going to have to earn the job for the next month. But as of right now, they have a choice between two healthy quarterbacks, and they chose Justin Fields.
Coming up in about 12 minutes, we'll get to the random question of the day, but let's get right back into the Royals, who of course had their season come to an end yesterday, and nobody better to talk to about that and looking ahead to the future than our Royals insider, Josh Fernier. He's brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you, baseball fans. Let's just start with this series and we can get broader. Vern, just overall, what was the biggest difference? Was it just 2-3-4? Was it the pitching? What do you actually put your finger on as the reason the Royals are not still around?
Well, they weren't as good as the Yankees in every single facet. The best starting pitcher in this series was Gerrit Cole. The best reliever was Luke Weaver. Second best was Clay Holmes. Third best was Tommy Canely. The best bat was Giancarlo Stanton. The best player was, we could debate Gleyber Torres or Juan Soto or Anthony Volpe. You arrived in the ALDS on the backs of Seth Lugo, Cole Reagans, Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi, and outside of a solo bomb from Salvador Perez, all five of those guys fell short of the standard that they've set for themselves this season.
We were talking in the last segment, like, hey, what is there one decision you would have made differently, that you actually think would have led to a different result in the series? Is there any one that comes to mind?
No. I mean, we could use the benefit of hindsight and,
yeah,
don't send Salvi back right in game one, and who knows how that thing turns out. But, hindsight, I was thinking that in the moment. We talked about it on the post-game show, but I'm certainly not going to lay the series loss at the feet of Salvi or Vance.
When you look at what the Royals pitching staff did, I think you can make an argument, Vern, that overall, three runs a game over the last three games, that should get you a win most of the time. I think the problem was that after this series started to develop, we understood that it was going to take one of those early season, mid-season performances from their aces in order to get a win. I think when it came down to it, because the pitching staff got them here, and I won't be mad at them because they just came up short this time because they're not here without them. But like, even though they didn't give up that many runs as a pitching staff, they still needed more, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, not one dominating outing from anybody in your rotation when they were giving you dominant outings, basically two out of every three games. And as we all know, come October, you're only facing good pitching. So an offense that, for the majority of the season, all the heavy lifting was done by Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi. I mean, throughout the month of September, people, what's going on with this Royals offense? Well, what are you talking about? For the first 5 months of the year, it was led by three guys. I mean, three guys were on pace to drive in 100, and then you had a bunch of 40-year-old Yuli Gurriel's hitting in the five spot for your playoff team. If that doesn't show just how important Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi were, I don't know what else will. Or, looking at this offense in the month of September without Vinny, and they were statistically the worst in all of Major League Baseball. Again, it just goes to show you how they arrived in the ALDS. Elite starting pitching, elite defense, elite team speed, three clutch bats, and then a below-average offense, a below-average bullpen that picked it up of late. You needed more from the rotation. You needed more from those big three. But again, because you're in the postseason, you're down to the final eight teams. And the Yankees have, like I mentioned, the best starter in this series and three of the best relievers. It's going to be difficult for Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi to put the team on their back and carry them to victory. Because honestly, they really didn't do that all that much this season. They teamed up with that rotation and found a way to win some tight games. And obviously unable to do so against a team that I'm pretty sure we all spent a majority of the six-month regular season saying the Yankees and the Orioles, the Phillies are just a cut above. Their World Series are bust. Royals are not at that level. Now, that's not to say when this series was 1-1 coming back to Kansas City, I told you guys I felt as if the Royals were in complete control. So I'm not acting as if, David against Goliath. No, the Royals had a chance to win it, but there's certainly nothing to hang your head about in falling short against this team.
How will you view Bobby Witt Jr.'s season as far as, like, what will you remember it as? Obviously, Vern, it's one of the single greatest statistical season any Royals players ever had. I've decided that I'm just going to remember it as the emergence of a superstar, right? It was the first time I knew he was not just a very good baseball player, but he was one of the best baseball players on the planet. I kind of view this as this statistical season will go down as the year Bobby Witt Jr. became a superstar.
Yeah, it's the greatest regular season we've ever seen from a Kansas City Royal player, and maybe second only to George's 1980 and 85 season as far as the greatest year that a Royals ever had. Bobby had a chance, if he got his team to the World Series, to usurp both of those campaigns from George Brett, but listen, you and I, Gold, most people listening, we're going to remember this as a American League MVP runner-up season for Bobby Witt Jr., but outside of Kansas City, the game is the game. When Bobby's name is brought up, yeah, they'll talk about his 5-2-0 talent, but they'll also talk about his two hits in the ALDS against the New York Yankees. That's how it goes. You know, when you're that player, you're going to have an extra bright spotlight shining on you. Just like if Aaron Judge, if the Yankees lose this series, that's all Judge hears all offseason. Now he has a chance to completely rewrite his October legacy coming up in the ALCS. So, no, I'll remember the great campaign from Bobby Witt Jr. I don't think he will. I don't think his offseason workouts are going to be fueled by I was the runner-up for the MVP. I think they're going to be fueled by that celebration that he watched last night as he was the last guy inside the dugouts. And as we've all learned over the course of this season, and maybe even longer than that, Bobby's cut from the same cloth as Patrick Mahomes. And a caller brought it up last night. The D-Ford game against the New England Patriots is what he's likening this season to for the Kansas City Royals. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes went scorched earth on the rest of the NFL ever since. I wouldn't be surprised to see Bobby Witt Jr. somehow even better next year. Honestly, even better in all five facets. Somehow, the arm, the glove, the bat, the power, the speed, I think it's all going to be better as he turns 25 coming up in about 8 months.
I definitely like the comp from you and the caller then last night on postgame as we're talking to Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. He's brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you, baseball fans. To that point about Bobby, but also just looking at this team moving forward, I wonder, today obviously stinks and fans should and are disappointed and everything like that, but looking ahead, because of Bobby and other pieces that will be back next year, do you think it won't sting as much, you know, a week or two from now also? Because it doesn't feel like, you know, anything can happen in baseball. I don't think we're waiting 10 more years for them to get back to the postseason.
Yeah, I don't think this loss stings until 2026.
Okay.
Now, next year, even if you fall short of the postseason, there'll be disappointment, but it won't be, 2026, if they're struggling, if they can't get back to October, I think that's when you start to lament the opportunity that was missed here in 2024. Outside of Bobby Witt Jr., honestly, the thing that gives me the most hope for the future is the front office and the aggressive ownership. Yeah, Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo and Vinny and Massey and Mike Cal, you feel good about them, but, you know, baseball's crazy. Life's crazy. Fluky things happen. Injuries pop up. It's tough. You know, Seth Lugo's been it. Cole Reagans has already had two Tommy John surgeries. But the thing that allows me to agree with you that it's not going to be another 9 years before they get back to October is the job done over the past 18 months by JJ and John Sherman. Revamping a bullpen twice in 12 months, bringing in a 40-year-old five-hitter, Tommy Pham, Robbie Grossman. I mean, you guys understand all the moves that have been made by JJ and the aggressive spending of John Sherman. I'm not saying he's going to spend another $110 million this offseason, but we've learned they're not going to sit on their hands and allow other teams to pass them by. Not that they're going to throw money haphazardly at issues, but when the opportunity is there to strike, I think Sherman and JJ have told you and shown you they'll do just that.
They probably got a month before they got to worry about it, Vern, but what is the very first thing you think the Royals have to do in the offseason?
I mean, you would. I don't know, man. I don't think anything really jumps out at you. You're going to lose Michael Wacha, likely to free agency. But that rotation next season still has Reagans and Lugo and Marsh and Singer and Bubich and Lynch. Kyle Wright, they'll all compete for a rotation spot. The back end of the bullpen's going to have Lucas Erceg and Hunter Harvey as the ninth and eighth inning guys, respectively. Hunter Renfro's going to pick up his player option,
yeah.
So he's going to be back in right field with MJ in left and Izzy in center, Mikel, Bobby, Massey, Vinny, Salvi, and Freddie behind the dish. There's nothing that jumps out to me, and boy, you got to fill that hole. You would like a proven bat, but I don't know if it's a must. Again, guys, I'm not trying to bring the show down, but if you've learned anything over the past two seasons, there is absolutely no reason to go all in ever on any one season. When I look at this team, I don't see a glaring hole. I know the offense and how bad it was in September, but let's let Vinny Pasquantino's broken thumb heal. Let's let Michael Massey get that back a break. Yeah, I mean, we would all like a bat. We would all like another reliever. We would all like another arm. But no, to me, there's nothing pressing for this team on day one of free agency.
Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. Appreciate you coming on every week, man. It's been a great season to have you on the show. Get a little bit of rest. And I don't know, are you guys doing a little Royal special or anything coming up?
I don't plan on it, but okay. We'll see.
That's my fault.
He's planning on doing a cocktail special tonight at his house.
Vern, next Wednesday, we need a royal special. yeah. My fault on that.
Like 3 hours.
Yeah. All right, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. That's Josh Vern. He obviously did a great job, as always, throughout the season. We've enjoyed having him on, and hopefully this is a normal thing in October. We just have him on every single day.
You are allowed to change your opinion before the season starts because we don't have the full answer. Gut instinct right now.
Yeah.
Do the Royals make the playoffs in 2025?
Yeah. We're still having the expanded playoff field, right? Nothing's changing?
Yep.
Okay, then yes.
By the way, they didn't even need the expanded playoff field to make the postseason this year.
I know.
They were in the playoffs even dicey. Under the old condition. Well, I'm not saying it didn't get dicey. Yeah. It definitely got dicey.
No, I mean, I think, the biggest concern I would have, if you're asking for my concern of 2025 on October 11th of 2024, would just be the health factor. That rotates pretty much all year.
Yeah.
And
they set career highs with Lugo, Reagans.
That would be it for me. Otherwise, they're going to be... The one thing we learned is the AL Central is going to be a problem for a while. These teams are going to be competitive for a while.
Tigers are young and good. The Guardians are a lot like the Rays in the sense that it doesn't really matter who's on their team. They're competitive and annoying.
Yeah.
White Sox stink. Good news for everybody. White Sox still stink.
Yeah. They will have the biggest turnaround in MLB history. The White Sox will go from, what was it? How many wins this year?
12. I mean, how many did they?
37.
Do they get 38? To 40?
I don't think so.
I mean, they did set the modern franchise record for losses in a season, so.
They were 41-121.
Oh, they got to 40.
Barely made it.
41-121. I mean, I've watched a lot of bad baseball teams.
Yeah.
I know the Royals won 56 games last year, and I know what it felt like to watch a team win 56 games. I cannot imagine what it would be like to watch a team only win 41 games. They finished 51 and a half games back in the American League Central.
Yeah.
There are only 162 games. They finished the season 5-5, however, so.
That saved their season.
Saved their season. Really feels like it was all worth it now, doesn't it? You know, now that they got that 5-5 and managed to do it. The only thing I would disagree with Vern is I still think they need one more pitcher. And maybe that might be old me thinking because, you know, I had started to kind of give up on some of these guys that they had drafted in previous draft classes who had come up and failed. If, and I think Wacha will opt out, if they keep Singer, they're in much better shape. I think they probably will, but we'll see. That's just been a trade rumor, one that maybe is more fan-based than actual franchise-based. But, okay, Reagans, Lugo, Singer, you got something. We going back to the well? We're going right back to let's see what Bubich has. Let's see what Lynch has. Let's see what a fully injured for an entire year Kyle Wright has. Let's see, you know, like there's part of me that's like, yeah, you can build a rotation that way. But admittedly, that comes with far greater risk than the way you just did it here, where you had four guys who you knew could start right and would be available. And so I kind of feel like I'd want one more established starter. That's like the only move I feel like they have to make. I'd be interested in a bat too.
But. The outfield is still interesting. You know, I agree that Renfro is, of course, going to opt in to the player option that he has. But and I expect Isbell probably to play center. But still, are they good with this leaving the outfield the way it is? Or is there a move to be made to improve that? That would be something I would watch. Fern might be right. That's just not something that's all that feasible because you don't need to go all in for the, you know, to fix the outfield necessarily. But that would still be an area where I would love to see if there was an option to improve the outfield a little bit. But we'll see.
You know what I think it might end up being is the way we talk about wide receiver for the Chiefs. This is an apt comparison where you're like, I want Justin Jefferson, right? They want Juan Soto to come play.
Give me a Juan Soto, please. You know, I'll take one Juan Soto.
Yeah. Or Anthony Santander or whatever, right? Some of the bigger names in free agency that are going to cost you $80 million to bring in here. And instead, what it's going to be is an outfielder who can play 100. It's Darius Slayton. It's the outfielder who can play 110 games, switch in at DH, play either corner outfield, maybe five times starts in center because it's a lefty on the mound and they don't want Isbell out there. And it's just the middle of the road, 110, 120 game outfielder that definitely makes you better. You are a better team and his splits are better and all of those other things, but it is not sexy on the page.
You're almost naming like, Jurickson Profar, basically.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much.
He's the guy.
Yeah, I think that it might be more
switch hitter.
More in that vein than the, like, what is the biggest name outfielder that the Royals can afford this second?
Yeah.
That's all. I'm saying it might end up that way.
Random question.
Some people in the video streams don't like it when I refer to outfielders as sexy, which I don't see what the problem is here. For you, Gold. For you, Drew, over in the text line, 913-586-7965. You can hit us up on those channels, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. We're at the Fan 965. Please like and subscribe our pages over there. Question every day is something I got asked in my new ride. So as you know, I drive that Tiguan I got back in March. It has my previous car did not have any features. It was 12 years old. Your car has limited view. My car didn't even have Bluetooth. Your car at least has that.
Yes.
My previous car didn't even have Bluetooth. It was so old. But my new one does, but it also has like the little in-dash, you know, GPS. And someone said my wife said I was becoming too reliant on it, said I use it too often. So the question I have for you today is, how often do you use GPS in your daily driving?
Only if it's someplace I've never been before.
If it's somewhere you've been,
then if it's somewhere I've been, I don't care where I'm in the city, I can get to that place. Like I could be starting anywhere. I know how to get to that place.
So if you're starting from my house and you've been to this place, you're like, I'll figure it out.
The only time I use GPS, if it's literally somewhere I have never been before.
I'll use it even to places I know where I'm going. Why? Not because I need it, but because I want it to tell me the fastest way.
Oh.
If there's accidents, if there's these
things. There's an argument.
I like clicking it on so that if there are problems, I like to keep the free flow. I know the way I could go.
Click it on and then you see the traffic pattern. If it's different, then you click it off. Like you know what I mean?
Someone said, are you too cheap to buy an Atlas?
No, the Tiguan was the right size for me. Thank you.
My dad is an Atlas person.
Yeah, Cody's actually, you're talking about the car. I'm talking about Cody's going to actually pull out a map on the hood of his car and map out his route before he gets in the car.
You ever out a MapQuest?
Of course. That's right. Back in your life. MapQuest was all you had back in the day before that was, and that was improvement upon actually going to, you know, AAA and grabbing a map.
When I was doing courier work, when I was like 18 years old for my dad company, we didn't have that kind of thing, GPS. He'd have to tell me where I was going. And I'm like, hey man, can you look this up? I don't know where the hell this place is. Like, I'm not going to be able to get there just off of like wits and hope.
Yeah.
I'm going to need you to like guide me into this spot.
I think your argument about the live traffic thing is warranted. I would also, this goes back to my people don't like it in Kansas City, but we don't really have traffic in Kansas City. I know we like to think we do. We don't.
We don't.
We live in Houston. There, that you need the traffic.
But every once in a while, something comes up. Lance, yeah. He drives. Like he says accident. He doesn't use GPS at all. Someone says every trip, let you know about traffic, accidents. Sometimes they'll tell you if somebody's clocking. Like, you know, someone clicks a little button, little radar guys up there.
Yeah.
Do you like a little warning?
Do you actually ever report that on the ways? Like, you can be the one to alert?
No, the only one I ever click is they'll be like, it's a speed trap. And then it'll ask you on the thing, is it still there? Or is it not there?
If
it's still there, I'll click still there.
You will.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why not? Why not click? Drew sounds like he's more like me. Why not pull it up? What's the harm? It's not like, what else am I looking at on there? It's just going to show me the roads. Yeah, it's not a big deal.
It's got to be if I'm going someplace I normally don't go.
I mean, okay. So I use it more often than not, I guess, but it's not like I look at it all the time. Like I'll look in the morning. Let's just say, because there's two ways I can go. I can go 70 out and then eventually get in a Metcalf, or I can go down 435 or 635.
And you like seeing which way is faster. I can go two ways too.
I like seeing which way is faster, and I have it up there, but I don't have it like on the dash where I need to follow directions, and I don't have the sound on either. I just pull it up and I check if I need to.
Someone says I drive and clean pools. Always use maps to see how much time I am from the next pool. Always helps me to know when to start slowing down or put stuff in my truck bed or take their time.
Well, I think if your job involves you consistently driving or whatever, then that makes sense.
Versus I'm just getting to the pool or whatever.
Cody, do you have sound? Do you have like Siri giving you directions?
No, that's unmute. Are you kidding me?
I do not use my Australian friend to tell me directions.
Do you still have it?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Look, what's so bad about having an Australian?
There's nothing wrong. We were surprised it was an Australian male accent as your GPS and Siri.
It feels like Steve Irwin's talking to me a little bit, you know?
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Mm-hmm.
Someone says, Cody's that Uber driver with nobody in the back seat. I'm not, you know.
like you have people sit passenger side. Like, can you...
Someone says it also tells you the speed limit because I never noticed it on the side of the road.
Someone said 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. is hell.
Those signs are all kind of everywhere.
Man.
3 p.m. to 6 p.m. is not hell in traffic in the city.
It's not.
You should go to a real city with real. And look, I'm not saying there's no cars on the road.
Yeah.
And that you don't drive slower than you would at normal
Chicago,
times. All I'm saying is I've driven in real traffic cities and it's skewed.
Yeah, our view of traffic is not. They would laugh. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Be like, man, traffic's really bad. You're like, you're still driving 50 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Like, it can't be that bad.
My favorite thing, the person, they don't see the speed limit signs.
Some of them do give that to you.
I'd be a little scared to be next to
I know the apps do. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, yeah.
In fairness, there are moments where I'm driving and I think I know what the speed limit is, but I
haven't
seen a sign.
Maybe this is just being from here.
And if you look, then...
Maybe that's what it is. Like, we've driven on these roads.
If you're driving
enough,
like on an interstate or a highway, I think that situation comes up a little bit more because the speed limit signs are more spaced out in a way, I guess. Or unless you just are constantly trying to touch like 8, 9 over, and you're just pushing the limit, I guess. To where if it lowered it by 10 and you didn't, if you lowered it by 10 and didn't notice it, you're going 15 over all of a sudden.
I'm either a speed limit guy or the speed of traffic. We're all going a little bit faster, I'll go a little bit faster.
Cody has no excuse ever to get a speeding ticket. Cody uses 35 miles an hour, and Cody will turn cruise on to make sure he's going 35.
That's
especially if it's late. Coming back from the K last night.
Cruise the entire way home?
No. But it's like 11 o'clock, and then I come off of the highway on like Vivian Road, and it's 40 miles an hour.
You'll set cruise?
And I just set it on 45, windows down, and kick it the rest of the way.
What?
No need to. Honestly, you know what drives me nuts? People who can't maintain their speed.
Well, I agree with
these
that.
These jerks on the highway.
That's terrible, too.
Then I'm going 65, yes. And they're on my ass, and then two seconds later, I got to pass them. Maintain your speed.
I agree.
So either that's figure it out point. With your own damn foot or set cruise control.
See,
like
here's
me.
Where we differ. Cruise control on the highway, 1,000%.
Yeah.
Cruise control 35 down a random side street is weird. Now, look, you know, I guess, you know, it's good you're not speeding.
Like a residential street.
Just imagining, Cody, it's like a, 15 mile per hour, like, parking lot, and he's got cruise control on, you know.
And you're setting it to 25, yeah.
Let's speed through those.
All right.
Keep the kids safe.
Up next, it's Fan Club Friday. We're going to open up the cooler. We've got our friend Jeremy Danner, who's a big Royals fan. We'll talk some Royals baseball. We'll also have a couple drinks. That's next here on Cody and Gold.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com